And our next reader, I want to thank him too, because Kurt Lumpkin, he worked hard today, put in an 11-hour day, and he's made this space available to us tonight. And I thank you, Kurt. Thank you very much. Kurt Lumpkin.
Well, David asked me if there was any spaces that I knew of that he could get for a poetry reading, and I said there's really only one that I've got any influence at in these days. And anyway, that's here. I work here. I've worked here for more than 11 years now. Amazing. That's longest I've worked anywhere. My office is right up there. Anyway, my little nook.
Thank you for publicizing this too.
Yeah.
Well, I should be able to do some of that, because that's part of what I'm supposed to do. Is my job is publicize things. mostly the farmers market, but anyway, just a few things here. I mean, there's a lot of poets, and so I think I shouldn't read a whole lot, and I have had a very long day, so if some of you have heard me a little more fiery on other occasions, those will come again. This is called the Ark of the Heart. In the Ark of the Heart, all the extinct animals secretly live and burn with a desire, calling us to live, as if their lives had mattered. For deep in our genetic core, they still have a stake in our future. For us to live for them, for even only a moment, would leave behind our aching egos. And then we might find each carries inside the Ark of the Heart, holding the seeds of a promised land, able to grow abundant fruit trees in the middle of a great garden, a wilderness, city, or wasteland. All that is lost cannot be restored, but in the Ark of the Heart, seeds of fire await to be rekindled with the light that is the life of all beings. This is a new one. I'm still working on it. But I think it's finished enough to try it out. I've read it a couple of times in public, and it's changed a little after each time, so probably changed after this time too. It's called Prayer Flag. There is a small, high-mountained, almost treeless land where they used to raise their prayers on little flags that fluttered like rectangular tree leaves. That land is now occupied by a huge foreign power that, parenthetically, is a significant trading partner of this nation of which I am a citizen by birth. This nation that now occupies another land where prayers rise in turquoise domes and squawk from tinny speakers on lovely spires. My prayer is for all people to be free, for no one to be homeless or hungry, for no one to be bombed or tortured, and for all occupations to cease, including the occupation of this land, turning our presence here into relationship with this land and all that are native to it, creating a borderless democracy of living beings. Palm to palm, my soul salutes this tree of life whose every leaf is a different prayer-filled flag. Prayers truer than any religion. Leaves like living flames licking the wind above roots, reaching deep into our only homeland, planet Earth. I'm going to try a brand new poem that hasn't been out at all. A love poem. It's called The Night Valley. Lying in each other's arms in post-orgasmic bliss. Touching from head to toe. Through the bedroom air, heavy with love making and the pulsing candlelight. Your eyelashes are butterflies of shadow. Your eyes darkly shining, smiles. Your body, the night valley that holds me to this earth. The night valley where I am allowed to be the river. I'm going to give a couple of things. Actually, I had one thing which I mentioned to you earlier, but I thought I'd try another thing after. I think there was another time when I heard David read his poem with Red Garland in it, and it made me want to pull this one out. We'll just play in. It's that other jazz musician who died on that week. Count Basie gets, and actually it's for another artist as well, who died within the same week, and that was Ansel Adams. And seemed to me like nobody noticed that they were dying close to each other. And it's called A Tribute for Count Basie and Ansel Adams, and that was in the last week of April 1984. Two great ones are dead. Two tough bringers of beauty. Two who carried on. Who took sound and light and threw back at us. Transformed reflections. Who brought to the dark cities bright jungles of music. Who with a clear and modern eye gave us back some wilderness. You can let go of the beat and return the swing to our mother's cradle. You can now keep the shutter closed and leave the ocean of light to reflect on itself. We are grateful for these jubilant vibrations, for this dance of light and shadows. And now your work is a part of the pattern of our lives. You are no longer held within the speed of sound or light. You are everywhere at once and belong to us all. Let's try this other one. Try one more thing here. And then maybe just a shorty. Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't you kick it off with like something that swings? Yeah. This is called Who Dances in the Daylight. I smile to myself, seeing a couple on the sidewalk by the open car door, holding each other as if to begin a dance. Right there, in the analytical daylight, in the middle of the workday world, without the comforting, seductive night, without any music. I think they are two of the brave or the naturally uninhibited. But I am mistaken. They have not embraced to dance. The man holds the woman to move her into the car from a wheelchair. Call and response. Who dances in the daylight? Do you ever dance in the daylight? And then again, perhaps I was not quite wrong. And this too was a kind of dance. One more very short one. I've been ending this with readings lately. It's kind of a sweetie, but I'm pretty fond of it. It's called The Seed of Love. There's something shining in the darkness, deeper than electric lights can reach. It is the seed of love you have barely touched inside yourself. It remains even when all the seed corn has been eaten in the famine after the drought. It cannot be altered by hybridization or genetic engineering. It is waiting for you to nurture it. Its only desire is to grow. Thank you. Pleasure to be in the company of all you fine poets, and to have you down at my workplace. Thank you.